Great morning, Kingdom Citizen and Creative Beings all over the globe. I pray that you are doing well on this wonderful and great day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day because you are alive to see it. I'm so thankful for you, you and you, the hearers on this line. I'm thankful for you tuning in to Mental and Love Notes 101. This is Pastor C.L. Suggs with you on today. I will be coming from John chapter 18. If you have your Bibles, if you have your app on your phone, if you have any means of looking up the scripture, turn with me to John 18. And I'll be starting at verse 15. And it reads thus, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. The disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou one of the man's disciples? And he said, I am not. And the servant and officer stood there, who made fire coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." If I can leave with you anything on today, it would simply be an undercover betrayer. An undercover betrayer. If you need a subtopic, it will be suffering from identity crisis. When we look at the word betray, the Greek word is paradimani, which simply means someone who betrays or reveals confidential information, a squealer or informer, in other words, a traitor. Peter began to mess up first by physically denying Christ, and then the results of verbally denying Christ follow suit. But when we look at the other betrayer, the undercover person, the Bible said in 15 said, Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Who was the other disciple? Who was the other disciple who had access into the high priest's courts, who knew how to get into the high priest's courts? Not only know how to get in the high priest's court, but you stood there and knew what was going on. Could it have been that you also was in the presence of Judas when Jesus was doing and performing the things? Because in 18:1, it began to tell you that Jesus, when he went to Kedron, which we know Kedron is on the other side of the Mount of Olives, and when he was found in the garden, and we know that garden is what Jesus always resorted to in the time of prayer, in the time of fasting, in the time of just seeking God's face, and we know that to be the Garden of Gethsemane. But Judas knew all these things. Judas wasn't the only one that knew these things. That other disciple also knew some things, because we know that Jesus had those 12, but they were also 72 other disciples. But who was it that was the undercover betrayer? Who was letting confidential information get loose? We also know that the Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together, God is in the midst. The same way God is in the midst, understand, the enemy is also in the midst. The Bible lets us know that the enemy does everything to try to emulate and to model himself after the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He wants to be just like God, so he emulates himself to be just like God. So do you not think that he is not going to allow two or three, where two or three are standing together, lying and interceding and trying to basically come against you? You don't think that he going to be there in the midst? Yes, he was. Judas, as well as that other disciple who was going back telling stuff of Jesus, the enemy was right there in the midst, setting and plotting and convoying how he can stop the miracles of God, the things of God. Peter wanted the reason that he messed up. He messed up because he physically started denying Christ by his body, his verbal, his non-body language. Sometimes your body language can tell that you are not really into what you say you're into rather than your mouth. One point, he answered those who asked the question in the same sense as the master. We know that when the people begin to ask Jesus, who was he? And when they said, he said, who you seeketh? And Jesus said, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to say, well, I am he. And they say, still, when Jesus began to open his mouth and say that I am he, the Bible declared that they fell backwards because of the power of his voice, because of the power of his word, because of the power of knowing who he was. And it said that the men fell back. When they got up, Jesus asked them, whom seek ye? And they still could not recognize that Jesus was the one speaking. Jesus was the one with authority. Jesus was the one that they were looking for, but they could not identify him. But even when he began to ask them again, they said, he said, I done told y'all I am he. Who? I mean, what do you want? Let the other ones go. So that lets me know that you didn't really know who he was because you had everybody else handcuffed. But here's the part that I had a problem with Peter. Then the master knew who he was. He spoke, I am he. But Peter's identity was lost. Peter replied, I am not. See, I am. The first mention of I am was in the time when Moses, when God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh, I am that I am sent you. But I am is powerful. I am knowing who you are in God. I am her. I am me. I can't be nobody else but me. When you know who you are and whose you are, you will not suffer for identity crisis because you will stand in your authority. But Peter said, I am not. Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? We can't mix light and darkness together. What is identity crisis? It's not a mental health disorder. It is not a medical problem. There was no charges brought against Peter. So why deny Christ? Could they have just wanted to recognize that you were Peter? Could it have been that they wanted to furnish a reason for meeting you into the door be with your friend? Could it have been Peter mind playing tricks on him for cutting that man? Feeling guilty for wounding a high priest servant? Our mind can easily play tricks on us when we are in the wrong. The identity crisis came from his own inner thoughts. The identity crisis can come from your own inner thoughts. According to Erickson was one of the development psychologists. He identified crisis, and he said it was a developmental problem. Folks may question their sense or self or place in this world by how they view themselves. As people confront new challenges and tackle different experiences, this what we know and say as an identity crisis can occur at any age. It's not a mental health disorder, but it can be depression. It's not a mental health disorder, but it can be bipolar. It's not a mental health disorder, but it can be borderline personality disorder. They are disorders that can easily trigger, so it increases the experiences of identity crisis. Peter was dealing with a personality disorder. We already seen it when he started denying who he was. He started denying who he was around. He started denying his life. It wasn't just Jesus already seen this even before they was beginning to sit around the table. He even began to say, "Well, when are you going to deny me?" Matter of fact, Allon had a mindset. Is it I? Is it I? You all was in the same boat because you all questioned your own self. But Jesus knew Peter was going to, Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him three times because Peter was already showing some signs of having some type of personality disorder. You are like, you don't know what manner of man you are from, what manner of spirit you are from. This is why you have people old as dirt asking, who am I? Unmotivated, feeling empty, because they follow with depressive symptoms. Note, signs and symptoms are very different. You can discern the signs, but have no clue how to help a person with the symptoms. Peter issue. For one, he couldn't discern. The spirit of discernment. He didn't have the gift of the discerning of the spirit. We all are born. Our innate ability is to have discernment. We all can discern whether it's good or evil, right or wrong. We all have a discernment to know when something is not right. Some say it's an intuition. Some say it's just a known inkling. Whatever it is, you have a notion to know what is right and what is wrong. But to be a believer, 1 Corinthians said, we have been gifted with the spirit, gifted with the discerning of, we can discern spirits. So could Peter not know that this guy wasn't really a disciple? Could Peter not know that this guy is a betrayer? Could Peter not see that this guy is really after Jesus himself as well, wanting to see Jesus do them in, do the guys to do Jesus in? Did Peter not, did he not see that? Who is this other guy? Who are you just walking with them calling yourself a disciple? But you got access into the high priest courts. Peter suffered from things that he should not have suffered from. For one, Peter stood afar off. The Bible said Peter stood afar off. Peter was enticed by a female. When the girl at the door asked him who was he, he went one to Jesus. He was enticed by this female and denied Jesus in front of her. Peter looked the part with those that did not like Jesus. Peter now is a spectator rather than a participator with his master. Even one translation said that Peter cursed, saying vulgar language. Now don't put yourself out there to saying you don't really know Jesus. The balance between identity and confusion lies in making a commitment to an identity. The guys at the table were all suspect, but Jesus knew who was going to betray him. He knew it was Judas. And he said, my life, I came onto this earth to save the lost. And I have lost none but the son of perdition, the son of destruction, the son which we know was Judas. Judas was the only one that Jesus said he lost because Judas wanted to be lost. Judas chose. He chose to be the one to betray Jesus. And this other disciple, I'm sure, went along with Judas. This other disciple had it in for even Peter. That girl at that door didn't know who Peter was until that man, that other disciple, that's what the scripture said, the other disciple told her who he was. How long are you going to hang with people who continue to tell on you? How long are you going to hang with people who continue to expose you? How long are you going to hang with people who continue to tell your important information? How long are you going to hang with people who continue to tell your secrets? How long are you going to hang with people who continue to not help you in your situation, but going with the crowd and laughing with the crowd and then come back to you act like they're so sincere? How long are you going to go with that? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that the word of God is the substance of discernment and edifying of his spirit through his sheep, use the instrumental of teaching, reproofing, correcting, and training in righteousness. The prompt application of these instruments of God is critical for the assemblies of God people to abide in the mind of Christ, having one mind. Romans 15:5. Enjoy unity of the spirit. Ephesians 4:3, and in the attendant benefits. We got benefits if we learn to just take heed to what God has already given us and stop thinking that everybody's for us. We find ourselves in some situations because we think everybody is for us when they are against us. Pray for the Holy Spirit to discern, allow you to discern spirits, to know those that labor among you. There's an undercover betrayer in your camp. Can you identify? There's an undercover betrayer in your camp. Can you identify? There's undercover people who's going back telling stuff that you're doing. Can you identify? And after you identify, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the information now that you have received from the Holy Ghost? What are you going to say now to these things that is now come upon you? You have too many people out there running around with the enemy. doing things of the enemy, making themselves thinking they are of God, and they really are not. Around here running around with titles and still don't even have a clue what to do. Can't even discern the spirit that is among them. But we need to pray and ask God to give us an eye to see just what we need to see. I was looking on, and I'm going to share this with you. I was looking in on the, you know, reels, Instagram give you reels. And I noticed that these people was, you know, shouting, and they were running from one side of the church to the next side. And then another one came in and started shouting, you know, had to get his feet together first and then started shouting with him. And so I put up the unnecessary. I said, can we still do this when the music, is stopped and the cameras was not rolling? And I got all these replies from certain people. Yes, and yes, it can. And you can't sit and judge somebody else's praise. I know how it is to, you know, want to praise God. And one girl got up there and said, you know, I praise God in my car and I had to pull over. And I told her, I said, thank you for sharing. I said, but you, I said, key point, you was in your car, no music, no cameras. I said, you gave God your praise. And then somebody else, somebody came up there and said, you know, you need to learn to shut up. You don't like it, don't look at it. It's something. It's just going on. So somebody chimed in on him and said, you call yourself a doctor, but then you're telling people to shut up and you don't even know how to speak to people and talk to people, but you call it title. And this person came back and said, so the thing kept going on. And the other person told him, yeah, I carry this title and I work for this title. And you just mad because you don't have one. And I'm just looking at all this because at one point, you know, I didn't even say nothing. And so the guy said, talking to me, he said, and that's why you in the mess that you in. I said, no, the only mess that I'm in is in authentic worship and genuine praise. I said, other than that, you don't really know anything about me. Oh, don't let the prophet come out. That's what was said. And so I listened to that and I finally just blocked the person because I said, how foolish are we to think that because we have a title on our name that makes us great or that makes it. He was so offended with me talking about these guys who was up here looking like they were entertaining on this broadcast or see how many people they can get, that he got offended with me because I said it was unnecessary. Or I asked the question, can you do this if the camera wasn't rolling? Can you do this if the music wasn't playing? Because a lot of people are now going on making a fad or making some kind of trend because of the simple fact you want to get up there and shout and show people that you can shout, show people that you can get up there and look like you having a contest with one ye or another. But then you get there and get mad at somebody, but you're not really telling the whole story. You as a male getting mad and offending and defending these guys because now they looking like they performing. And then you call and gonna try to say, don't let the prophet come out. Please let the prophet arise because I can let the prophet arise as well. Because so many stuff, so much is going on in the household of faith, and God is starting to expose some stuff. And I guess some people don't want you to ever say anything about what they're doing, but what they're doing is wrong. And there's a whole lot of other stuff besides shouting that's going on in the household of faith with men as well as women. And God is getting ready to shut it down. God is getting ready to shut it down. Just like he declared in Jeremiah 51, he said, I'm getting ready to cause a destroying wind. God is getting ready to cause a destroying wind on these folks who's walking around with titles and don't know how to treat people. God is getting ready to cause a destroying wind with these people who got all this stuff going on behind the pulpit and a lot of homosexuality going on behind the pulpit. A lot of lying going on behind the sacred desk. A lot of fornication going on behind the sacred desk. A lot of adultery going on behind the sacred desk. And God is getting ready to cause a destroying wind if people don't repent. That undercover betrayer that got people going, doing things and thinking that it's okay. Paradigm, you doing things, betraying God, the one you said you serve, and then you want to throw up a title? God forbid. God forbid. Because there is such thing as false prophets, imposters syndrome. Imposter, you got prophet imposters walking around here want to try to prophesy somebody. You have no clue what to do besides prophesy the lies of your father, the enemy. People better be careful what they do and say. God can allow your tongue to cleave to your mouth until you learn how to speak truth and speak truth of him. But in the midst of it all, in the midst of it all, God is still going to be glorified. But he's calling forth now some truth. He said, they that worship me in spirit and in truth. See, I don't have to have a lined camera behind me to show that I can praise the Lord. I don't have to have the music to show that I can praise and worship my God. Because first it starts at home. It starts at home. It starts at home. Worship starts in the heart of my, in my own altar at the house. That's when the genuine worship comes. That's when authentic worship comes. And even if I don't have somebody running on my back or standing in front of me, I still can praise God. He's due the praise. Yes, he is. But I don't have to showboat to show somebody that I got it. Come on, how long are we going to continue to entertain the world? How long are we going to continue to look like the world? And I pray for forgiveness for this brother who calls himself a doctor, if he's really in the household of faith. I pray for forgiveness because that's never one of my things to bait or to act out of character on social media. And even when I was being quiet, others was beginning to chime in. Others was beginning to show that they felt the same way. And whether we have somebody or not, because nobody didn't have to chime in, I wouldn't care if they did or didn't. I spoke from what I saw. It was unnecessary. And I asked the question, can we do this when there's no music? Can we do this when there's not a camera in our face? Can we still tell of the goodness of Jesus when we having a bad day? Or not so good day? Can we still tell of the goodness of Jesus when things are going on in our body? Because there have been plenty of times that I have helped people and prayed for people, interceded for people, done things for people, and I didn't need a camera to validate who I was and what I did. God is calling for a people without a spot or wrinkle. God is calling for a people that don't have to have the limelight to show that I did something great. God is calling for a people that don't even have to have a title. You don't have to call me anything, but you won't disrespect me with anything either. But at the same time, God is calling that people simple and humble. Simple and humble. He tells us in Matthew chapter 18, he said, unless you are converted like a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got some people so high, so high in their titles that they feel like they can't even be humble. Woe unto you. But I promise you, in this season, God is sending forth a strong, destroying wind. He already declared it in Jeremiah 51 that those who does not repent are going to be faced with this destroying wind. Because God said, before I allow you to cause offenses to the little ones, it'll be a millstone around your neck. And we know when a stone is around your neck or a stone is around anything, it's not coming back up again. Make sure that you do everything and anything for the master, decent and in order. Decent in order. Don't you be an undercover betrayer. Don't you allow things to be an undercover betrayer in your life. See it for what it is and expose it. See it for what it is and expose it. Because that's what God will want you to do. You're going to have people still fight against you. You're going to have people to still come against you. You're going to have people to say all manner of evil about you. But you stand for what is right. Because righteousness is still right. Holiness is still right. God loves all mankind. Don't want to see anyone lost. But when you think that you are above being corrected, woe is you. woe to you. God is still good, and he is worthy of the righteous praise and honor. Continue to lift up the name of Jesus, for it is his name that stands above all other names. God shall be glorified in our lives when we do it with a sincerity of heart. Keep him first, as Matthew 6:33 declared, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you." This is your girl, CL Suggs, with Mental and Love Notes 101. Continue to stand on the wall and declare the words of the Lord. Peace and love, good people.